I left off last week considering Christ's method, our model, in John Leonard's book called Get Real. This was chapter 3 of that book, and he set in front of us Luke chapter 7 as something of an example of Christ's method of sharing himself or sharing the good news of the gospel. And we found that there were a series of different encounters that he had. He healed the centurion's servant. He raised the widow's son who had died. He met with a delegation from John the Baptist and spoke of the testimony that was being born of him, of the coming of the Messiah. And finally, he had the encounter with the woman, which we have identified, I think, as being a prostitute, and also Simon the Pharisee and his thoughts about that. The first application I made last week was that we are to offer the gospel to everyone. We saw a wide diversity of individuals there in just one chapter that Jesus shared that. And to quote Leonard again, just to get us back in the thought process, he said, "We do not determine in advance who is worthy or unworthy of God's grace." And so we talked about offering the gospel to everyone. Let me also make a very personal application here, that this is true for you as well. And I don't use that term as it sometimes true for me, true for you. That the invitation that is made in Jesus Christ is for you as well. That the invitation is that anyone who comes to Christ may be forgiven. There is no sin so great that Christ can't forgive. And there is no sense of being beyond repair or beyond Christ's ability. If you just look at the people that we considered, Jesus offered himself to the rich and to the poor, to those who were outwardly righteous, some who were genuinely good, John the Baptist, to those who were outwardly and knowingly had walked a wicked life. Some were powerful, some were weak, some were spiritual, some were not. And Christ offered himself to all there. And so I say that just to remind you that Christ is offered to you as well, and that grace is there as a free gift. I sent you home then with a couple of questions and a couple of things to think about. And the first one is part of this application of the offer of the gospel to everyone. And I asked you to think about homogeneous units. So what did you discover about homogeneous units? What is a homogeneous unit?
Homogenized milk.
That's right. See, we use the term homogenized with milk. You might find at the store that milk has been homogenized. Just follow that up. What is homogenized milk?
The same.
Does it have anything else in it?
So it doesn't separate out anymore.
All one.
Yeah. So the if you break down the word, anybody in biology might know homogeneous.
They all look alike.
Mm-hmm. There's the homogeneous unit. They all look alike. Let's apply that to evangelism and to church planting. My family talked about it Sunday night around the table. Let me broaden it out to you and ask, is it good or bad that we would target the homogenous units in the community around us?
Good.
Let me see if I understand what you're asking.
Sure.
That long time ago, I went to this conference, and they had a special class on evangelizing to people, athletes, which I thought was a very strange concept in the first place. I'm just going to witness to athletes and not to other. Or, you know, that categorization in the mindset didn't seem right to me. Is that what you're getting at when you say?
A little bit. What's that?
We only want athletes.
I bring it up, and Leonard does as well in his book, but it's a trigger for me. I need a safe place. it's a trigger for me because in the books that I read on church planting, I'm interested in this for good reason. In the books I read on church planting, there is a school of thought that says the best way to plant a church is to go into a community, look for the people that are just like you, and reach out to them and just to them. Look for touche. That would be very strange. That would be a very odd group. You said plant a church of church planters. you've heard me say before that, even in the context of this study, that to the man who was demon-possessed, God sent him home and said, tell him much God has done for you. So there's a place for reaching out to those who you are naturally connected to. There's a place for that. But what I'm where the trigger comes in is what Liz has said. If that is the church planting model, and that's the only person that you reach out to, then yes, I would agree that is not the gospel mission. And evangelism is to go to the ends of the earth and to draw in people from a variety of backgrounds, from in whatever classification that you would like to put it in, to think of the broadness of that. Yeah, to homogenize them so that they. That's the gospel, to make them look like us or to speak like us or a variety of different things like that. Yeah. So for us as a congregation, one of the expressions of this has been that, as we noted at our anniversary, that the Lord has set on our hearts the opportunities that a university bring to our town to reach out to internationals and to see, to be able to see God bringing internationals to himself and even part of our own congregation. Over our history, some 13 to 15 different international or if different nationalities being part of our congregation. And I rejoice in that, to see how God has laid that on our hearts. I would also say that there's that within Americans, that there's also a degree of diversity within our group. At the same time, As is often the case, it is natural that within the circles where you have influence and natural relationships, that those have been most fruitful. And so there is a sense, or there is a degree of homogeneousness about, is that a word? Homogeneousness? Homogeneity in our congregation. And I think it's appropriate for us to pray, to thank God for the fruit that He has given, but to also pray that we would reach out beyond places where we are generally the same. The second question that I gave to you as homework was getting dirty for the gospel. That was Leonard's term. And so I'll ask you, in the case of those four different individuals, how did Jesus, quote, get dirty for the gospel? Good. Okay, which one was that? The Gentile centurion, the very first one. He agreed to go to his house, which especially would have made him ceremonially unclean to go into a Gentile's house.
He ate at Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus was a tax collector.
Yep. Yep.
It's kind of a no-no.
Yep. Good.
And Jesus touched the dead.
He touched the dead, which was also a ceremonial aspect. He became unclean by doing that. And his answer to John the Baptist, he cites the several different people that he was ministering to and the healings that were taking place. And those were aspects of ceremonial uncleanness. And the prostitute that he allowed to come and to touch him, let alone to wash his feet. John Leonard draws attention to Psalm 40 of the fact that not only did Jesus ceremonially become unclean, he became judicially unclean for us. He became sin for us and bore the wrath of Christ. So Psalm 40 says that God drew me from the slimy pit of destruction and set my feet on the rock. And we can apply that to ourselves and remember that God became sin for us, and out of that gratitude then begin to think and minister hopefully in a different way towards those around us who are also in a slimy pit of destruction and of sin. But all too often the approach is to, this is an oversimplification, but to say to someone who is embroiled in a lifestyle of sin is to look at that individual and to shake your head and to say, wow, he's getting what he deserves, isn't he? Or to think mentally, pull yourself up out of that pit. Or to throw maybe a rope or a crumb there to help. Here I'll just quote Leonard again. Do you know why the world has stopped listening to the gospel? Because we want to share it in the least inconvenient way, the least costly way. We want to save dirty people at a distance. And there's a good critique in there. This doesn't the devil's in the details. What does this mean? But the tempting thing is to to go about helping the world around you in the way that's the most convenient or the easiest way that you can go about. There are classes of individuals in our society that are unclean, and the idea of reaching out and ministering to them carries with it some baggage. It's hard. It's dirty. It takes a lot of hard work to befriend someone in those different classes. And that doesn't mean that that there's it doesn't mean that there's no no discernment, or that there's a one size fits all response to everyone in these circumstances. I'll just call your attention to one area. Again, Leonard mentions this just briefly in passing, but I can say a few more words about it. He mentions ministering to those with AIDS. And there are two things that I would recommend that you read to encourage you in thinking about ministering in a very hard circumstance. One is, both of them are books. One is When the Wicked Seize the City, which is about a congregation that ministered in San Francisco in the midst of a very violent hatred that was leveled against it. And yet how this congregation maintained a witness for Christ and a compassion for those who were suffering under homosexuality and AIDS. The other is a book by Greg Bahnsen, which is titled Homosexuality. I highlight this subject just because the gender identity agenda is pretty a big question right now, and the homosexual agenda is very important for us to think about. His book gives a very timely biblical response to the questions about homosexuality, but it closes very pastoral. It talks about how to minister to those with AIDS, or to minister to those caught up in that lifestyle. So two resources that I could give you that would describe the answers in one situation of getting dirty. There are a variety of others. My challenge to you is to think about just how you extend yourself to those in your circles where there is a sense of the dirtiness of the lifestyle, and to not just divert to the least convenient way or the least costly way. Gone a little longer here today with our Bible study, but want to give you a chance to ask questions, especially about that last point about getting dirty for the gospel. Any questions? Hopefully I've given you something to think about and to pray about, that the Lord would give us opportunities to minister around us. For today, we'll share our prayer requests, and I'll send them home with you to pray for today. So let's share those requests.
Actually, last weekend at